Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Have you ever been picked last? Typically, we think about it in terms of, you know, playground sports, right? Two captains, and they each get to pick teams, and everybody stands on the wall, and all of the best players get picked first, or, you know, the kid who's the biggest, because no one can knock him over when you're playing football. But then the little kid who's 5'1", and not as tall, and not as big as the other kids. That was me. He gets picked last. You know, and I didn't always get picked last, but if you think about the last picks, they're really not picked at all. In fact, they just sort of have to, like, shamefully, like, mosey to the team that gets stuck with them when there's no one left to pick. They're not picked. And there is a great deal of shame and embarrassment because, really, when you're picked last, it means that everybody else had more value than you did. It's an awful feeling. If you've ever been there, I'm sure you can testify to it. But the truth is, it doesn't just apply to what happens in the schoolyard. Not being chosen is tough, but it applies when we make it out into the rest of the world too. Ever gone for a job interview and not gotten the job? You didn't get picked. You ever apply for a grant or a scholarship and you don't get it? It means you didn't get picked. You ever apply for a college and get rejected? You didn't get picked. Even mortgages and loans, sometimes you get denied. Heaven forbid it ever happens, but even when we try to extend our friendship to some people, they don't want it. Your friendship can be rejected. There are plenty of times in our lives when we don't get chosen for one reason or another. And it's just such a situation that we hear about in our first reading for today. Peter stands up and addresses those gathered in this upper room. Why? Well, because Judas could not fulfill his duties as an apostle. And so he recognizes that somebody needs to fill this spot, this missing place. And so he shares these words. One of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that day, when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But it begs the question, what about Justus? He's literally never mentioned ever again in the scriptures. Imagine how he must have felt that day, right? He was just as qualified as Matthias. Right? They only put forward people who had seen Jesus' baptism, followed him through his entire earthly ministry, even were still faithful followers after his death into his resurrection, and then watched him fly into the clouds. Both men did this. They were both qualified. They both had the prerequisites to make it into this apostleship thing. And yet, Matthias gets chosen, and Justus gets nothing. But this is precisely why we can relate so well to Justus. We all want to be the favorite. We all want to be liked by everybody. We want to be the most likely to succeed. We want to be the best dressed. We like to be complimented. We like to be admired. We like to be appreciated. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. No one really wants the consolation prize. In fact, you might as well call it like a failure trophy, right? Because you get the little consolation prize, and it's just like a small version of the trophy you didn't win. But the truth is that in this world, each and every one of us, at one point or another, will be the unchosen. And it might be because we lacked the knowledge. It might be because we didn't have enough charisma or skill or credentials, or maybe it's even for reasons that we'll never understand. But whatever it is, the way of the world is that eventually we won't be picked. We'll feel the shame and embarrassment. But this is precisely why Jesus does it. This is precisely why this is actually kind of a gift. I mean, nobody wants to be ashamed or embarrassed or picked last, but what does it do? But it drives us to our knees. It makes us realize that we really aren't that great. It makes us humble. And when we're humble, we're ready to hear what God says. You know what God says about being chosen? In Isaiah 41, he says, "You are my servant. Today I have chosen you." Just a few weeks ago in John chapter 15, we heard Jesus say these words, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." God chooses you. He picks you. Even as we hear from God's servant Paul, he says these words, "God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." God chooses you. And why would God ever choose you for his proverbial team? Because you have value to him. Because you are loved by him. Because he wants you. But how does God do the choosing? How does he choose to choose? Well, he chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. That means what you consider lowly, God lifts up. He chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. This is what God chooses. He sees into your heart, he sees your sin, and he convicts you of it. Why? He brings you low, that way he himself might lift you up. Higher than you could ever lift yourself. My friends, God chose you by giving you his son. Because he doesn't just expect you to do this on your own. In fact, he can't. But he shows us his mode of operation. Why? Well, remember who Jesus is, right? Just this past Thursday was ascension. Jesus goes back up to heaven to sit and rule on his throne. This is where Jesus belongs. But what does Jesus choose to do? He leaves that throne and he comes to earth and he's born as a baby of all things. Helpless. If you're going to be playing football, you want a baby on the team? Probably not. See, but this is how God chooses to do things. And he has to live a simple, normal life as a human being. And then we would expect God to do something magnificent, right? Well, surely when you're an adult, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be big. He's going to be able to do something. Right? He's going to show his power. But what does Jesus end up doing? But he goes to a cross. And he dies. And he sheds his blood. And we think, this isn't somebody on my team. He's dying. In fact, all the apostles recognize this too. Where do they desert Jesus. But 3 days later, and then 40 days after that, Jesus shows who he is. Because in being humble at first, he is then highly exalted. In his death, he shows that in spite of sin, he still chooses humanity. He still chooses to save. He still chooses to forgive. And so you are. You're chosen. Chosen to be connected to this death of Jesus, and being connected to his death, you're also connected to his resurrection. And in being connected to the resurrection, you're also chosen to be connected to the ascension. That's what's going on right now. You ascend to where Jesus is, or really more likely, Jesus descends to where you are. He's here to confess into your ears, to remind you that you have value. That you're not the last picked. Because in fact, in other places of Scripture, we find out that from the very beginning, before God even spoke anything into existence, he knew your name. And he knew that he wanted you on his team, and he knew that you would enter the waters of baptism and have your sins forgiven, and he knew that one day you would be in heaven. And in fact, he set it all up. You know, what's the best thing for a kid who always gets picked last? It's when, for some odd reason, their best friend gets chosen as the captain. Because it's the one time you can ensure that you're not going to be picked last. This is what Jesus does. He overlooks our sin, and he picks us first. And so in the midst of a world that gets us down, in the midst of not being chosen time and time again, Jesus chooses you today. In fact, he sends you a special invite to join him for all time. Today we get a little foretaste. We receive the Lord's Supper. Jesus coming to us, Jesus picking us, telling us, come, eat, drink my body and blood, receive me. Have your faith strengthened. Because that's what being on the team means. That's what being part of his people means. And my friends, on the last day when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a greater feast set out for us. We're chosen to be there. Chosen to inherit heaven. Chosen to receive God's grace and mercy, not just for a moment, not just for a lifetime, but for all time. Because you are chosen. Even when the world doesn't, you are chosen by God. Chosen by his blood, chosen by his death, and yes, chosen by his resurrection. Because alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.